Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Of the Savage Nation. I'm one of the slave drones in the country that would love to see a government shutdown. I, for one, would love to see 20% of the federal workforce permanently fired. I would like to see pensions reined in by 30% across the board. I would like to see a shutdown last as long as it takes. And I'm going to read you my 37-point plan of the Savage Manifesto on Borders, Language, Culture, and Economics that I wrote a few years ago. And you want to hear who I dedicated this chapter to? Well, I'll read you the line. It says, "The world is a dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it." Albert Einstein. And here's the irony. The Tea Party is the driving force of the people who want to do something about the government's spending evils. And Obama has the nerve to call you, the American taxpayer, the right wing. This is the new game in town. MSNBC, right wing. CNN, the right wing is trying to shut the government down. ABC, CBS, NBC, the right wing is trying to shut the government down. What is laughable about it is that we have the most extremist left-wing government in American history calling the average taxpayer right-wingers as though it's a dirty word. Well, I, for one, am proud to be a right-winger. I'm very proud that I work hard at my age, and I've been working since I'm 5 years old. I'm not proud that I have a bunch of leeches who are sucking me dry with taxation without representation. And a leadership that is so left-wing that they dare call we the taxpayer right-wing. Here in San Francisco, there's a story on the front of the newspaper about a poor couple, a little Hearts and Flowers story about an elderly couple who, let's put it this way. They've been living in a very low rent for a very long period of time. And now the owner of the building wants to evict them and rent the apartment at market rates. In other words, he wants a return on his investment, as is done in an investment society. Here's the headline. Reprieve an SF eviction case. Mayor's office steps in to help elderly couple. Oh, you mean all elderly couples are good. And they show the elderly woman, Gum Gee Lee, praying in her living room the day before the family were to be evicted from their longtime home in San Francisco. The Lee family has lived on Jackson Street for decades and is now being evicted under the Ellis Act. But religious leaders, left-wing fanatics, friends, left-wing fanatics, politicians, left-wing fanatics, all, gathered to show their support for the elderly couple and stand against evictions of longtime residents. Well, let's look into that story and see how it affects the average taxpayer. We learn that the Lees are elderly people. In fact, they are elderly. One of them is 74, and her husband, Poon Hung Lee, is 80. Nice old people, right? They're living off Social Security checks. Well, nothing wrong with that. They must have worked to earn Social Security. And caring for their mentally disabled daughter, who probably gets an SDSI check. And they said they won't be able to find anything equal to the $778 a month they pay for their two-bedroom home. Of course they won't be able to find anything equal to it because they're not paying the right amount of rent in San Francisco. That apartment should probably cost $4,000 a month, and the man who owns the building is simply throwing the family out with all the other families because he wants to convert the apartments into units that will rent for the right amount of money so he can afford to make a living. That's how it works. That's why San Francisco has so many slum buildings in the city, old-fashioned slum buildings. So these are radical left-wingers, in other words, the politicians and the leaders who are on the side of the Lees, giving us a story about an elderly couple who's being evicted without telling us why they're being evicted. And that's why I say sometimes, in order to tighten your belt, some people have to understand that the times have changed. So in my Savage Manifesto, I had a 37-point plan. This goes back to trickle-up poverty. And I'll get to the part about Well, let me read you a few of them. See if you agree or disagree. This was written a few years ago in that bestseller. It's in paperback. One, English only. Make English the official language of the United States. Require all who immigrate to our country to begin immediately to learn English as part of the requirement to qualify for the privilege of American citizenship. Two, close the borders. Three, defend the borders. Pull the troops out of Germany and South Korea where they're doing nothing and put them on our southern border where there's a real threat to our citizens. Four, defund and repeal Obamacare. I wrote that. How is that possible? How did Michael Savage know that we should defund Obamacare in his book, Trickle Up Poverty, written a few years ago? I thought others owned that topic. All the Johnny-come-latelys who were screaming from the rooftops. Four, I said defund and repeal Obamacare. And I wrote how to do it. I said, remember how the Schechter brothers overturned FDR socialism? Sue the government on the grounds of religious freedom. Use Schechter brothers' strategy from Chapter 5. Michael Savage, the architect of the New America. And here comes the soundbite of the day. Number 5, I wrote, reduce the size and scope of government. The federal government is bloated. With the exception of the military and defense, reduce all departments in size by 4% each year for a total reduction in size of 16% over 4 years. Require government employees to speak English and to have achieved at least a high school diploma. 6, liquidate TARP. 7, oil for illegals. 8, strike down the Anchor Babies Law. 9, export jailed illegal aliens. 10, fire Janet Napolitano. 11, use profiling to prevent terror attacks. 12, name the enemy. 13, rewrite the rules of engagement for our combat veterans. 14, save the SEALs. This is before they were assassinated by the government in that helicopter incident. 15, reinforce the military infrastructure. 16, pay raise for the military personnel, which I called for increasing pay for active duty combat troops by 10%. Notice I'm calling for a belt tightening, but it wasn't with a meat axe. It was with a scalpel. And I said increase the pay for active duty combat troops by 10%. Impose tariffs on China. Oh, really? Impose a 20% tariff on all goods produced in China? 19, offer health savings plans. That's interesting. 20, institute a flat tax. 21, keep the estate tax at zero. 22, say no to a VAT tax. 23, reduce pay and pensions for civil servants. I asked, why is New York City paying a $242,000 a year tax-free disability pension per year for a former fire chief? Why do almost 2,000 House of Representatives staffers take down six-figure incomes? How can 43 of them soak the public for $172,500, which is 3 times the median U.S. household income in this economy? I wrote this a few years ago, trickle-up poverty. So when you say we're right-wingers, well, maybe you're a right-winger and you don't even know it. 24, defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Remember family values? Where did family values go under this radical, left-wing, socialist, fanatic Barack Obama? Whatever happened to family values? 25, encourage childbearing among tax-paying citizens. Create a marriage incentive through lower taxes for married heterosexual couples and a tax credit for each child conceived and carried to birth. Increase the subsidies for each year the couple remains married. Gee, that's such a right-wing idea, isn't it? 27, end affirmative action. 28, limit welfare benefits. 29, voting reform. Require a government-issued photo ID such as a driver's license at the ballot box when voting. 30, boot the czars appointed by Obama. 32, reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. Oh, look that one up. 33, reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. 34, privatize the regulation of Wall Street. 35, encourage risk-taking and entrepreneurship. 36, institute tort reform. That means rein in the greedy trial lawyers. 37, run the country like a business, not an empire. And I said this in case you think I'm didactic. I wrote, we cannot blame President Obama for the entire economic morass we are in. However, as any homeowner knows, if you have $100,000 in debt at the end of the year, you don't eliminate that $100,000 debt by incurring $300,000 additional debt, which your children will have to pay for. Instead, you pay down that debt by cutting unnecessary expenses. Maybe you have fewer vacations, Mr. Obama. Maybe you use Air Force One a little less, Mr. Obama. Maybe the wife doesn't send the dog to Martha's Vineyard in an Osprey, Mr. Obama. That's known as belt tightening, Mr. Obama. A simple principle bureaucrats can't seem to grasp. As such, we the people must stop them from further federal bailouts and stimulus packages altogether. That is Michael Savage's manifesto. That is why I believe we need a government shutdown. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You don't get to extract a ransom for doing your job, for doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway, or just because there's a law there that you don't like. The American people sent us here to govern. They sent us here to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make their lives a little bit better, to create new jobs, to restore economic security,
how's that
rebuild
worked out?
Prospects of upward mobility. That's what they expect.
That worked for Zuckerberg and the Wall Street leeches, sure. Yeah, they've had a lot of upward mobility. In some societies, some would say Zuckerberg would be in prison for stock fraud. Instead, he's been invited to the White House, and he's considered a folk hero. That's the new America under Obama, who now is saying to those of us who actually pay the taxes, we're suddenly super right-wingers because we don't want to pay the tab for the leeches. We don't want to pay the tab for the bureaucrats. We're sick and tired of being taxed to death. We're now right-wingers. Now, that's one topic. There are three others that I'm going to throw up in the air right now. Get ready to follow the balls. I would be remiss if I didn't mention to you what I announced last Wednesday. It was the biggest announcement in radio history. I'll say it again in case you don't want to hear it. Let's say that felt like chalk on a blackboard because you're in the radio business and you never thought you'd hear this. Let's say you said it can't happen. Savage can't be getting Hannity's time slot on Cumulus stations. It's impossible. It can't be true that Savage is the heir apparent to Afternoon Drive on the East Coast. It can't be that he's going to be 3 to 6 Eastern and 12 to 3 Pacific time across America on all the best stations in the country. It can't be true. Why, we've marginalized Savage. Savage is not mentioned by various and sundry political outlets who are all part of the Rush-Hannity complex. You've heard of the military-industrial complex. Well, there's the Rush-Hannity complex. I have nothing against Rush and Hannity, per se, but to be honest with you, they have kept me out of the loop. Because of their power, they never thought this would happen. Because of their power, I'm banned on Fox News. Because of their power, I'm never mentioned on websites. So I'm pleased to announce that despite the cartel's attempt to block it, despite the cartel's desire to marginalize yours truly, Savage is going to take Hannity's time slot on Cumulus beginning in January. And if you want to comment on that, the phone number is very easy to remember, 855-400-SAVAGE. You know, I thought of something over the weekend about that. I will be taking over Sean Hannity's time slot on Cumulus Media radio stations. That's a big story. It's the biggest story in radio in years. I don't expect you to have read about it in your local paper. It did make it to the Daily News and many other newspapers who cover the media. It's a huge story for a number of reasons, which you'll see as time goes on. Here's an interesting thing. I thought of it. Many of you like Hannity, as you should. He's a nice guy. He's just terrible on radio, and he uses radio to push his TV show, which is why he's been, you know, basically pushed out. I'm laying it on the line, that's all. I'm better on the radio. Everybody knows that. I'm the Mozart of radio. And he's been using the radio show simply as a sounding board to push the TV show. Every night, watch Fox this, watch Fox that. It's in his own interest, but not the interest of the radio show, so people got fed up with it. I realized you can listen to me on the radio and then watch him on TV at night, 10 o'clock, after he spent all that time with his family. In other words, you don't have to make a decision, should I listen to Savage or Hannity? It dawned on me, you could have the best of both worlds. You listen to Savage on the radio, and then at night you catch Hannity's show. You don't need the previews and coming attractions on the radio show. That's all you've been getting anyway. So it's a win-win when you think about it. Savage on the radio, Hannity on TV. I'll never compete with him on TV because I don't have his hair. and there's one thing I found out, that every election going back in American history to George Washington, I did an analysis, a detailed scientific analysis. He who has more hair has always won. That is why I'm not going into television. I have a head for radio. In more ways than one. But if you look at it, and if you take my theorem that whoever has more hair wins, it means that Hillary's going to win the next election. Oh, God forbid. It's not been bad enough with this left-wing fanatic in the White House now for all these years. You can imagine what she's going to do to us. But I don't want to get ahead of us. Now, that's topic number two. Number one was the government shutdown. Number two now is the Savage time change. What do you think of that? Is Obama secretly letting Iran build a nuke? You betcha. Is Obama secretly letting Iran build a nuke? You betcha. Then we're going to play the clips that I did for Friday, the prize-winning Marconi Award, radio award-winning stuff I did Friday, which compared Neville Chamberlain's speech when he met with Hitler to Obama. Listen to montage number one. You got
to hear this. Just now, I spoke on the phone with President Rouhani of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Well, there will surely be important obstacles to moving forward, and success is by no means guaranteed.
But the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe.
I believe we can reach a comprehensive solution.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement,
I do believe that there is a basis for a resolution,
as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
How did that work out? How'd that work out? Oh, I think there was World War II after Hitler was appeased. So Obama appeased Iran, and you believe there's a fatwa against developing a nuclear weapon? Take a look at what happened in Kenya last week.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is Michael Savage playing you some right-wing rock and roll from a bygone era before the communist, socialist, Leninist leeches took over the country. And so I'm asking you a question, a number of questions. There's three questions floating in the air tonight on the program, heard across America on 200 stations, about to be heard at an earlier time. And you know the questions, and you must have the answers, that's all. The biggest shakeup in radio, in talk radio history has occurred. It's been announced it hasn't occurred. It'll occur in January. The biggest. And I want to know what you think about that. I want to know whether you think is Obama secretly letting Iran build a nuke. I want to know whether you think that the government shutdown is a good idea, as I do. As I explain to you why I think it's a good idea, not just yes or no, but clearly it is a good idea. My Savage Manifesto explain why we need a government shutdown and a belt tightening. So let's begin in Providence, Rhode Island on WPRV. Dave, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Dave?
Well, Michael, it's an honor to speak with you. I just wanted to call to congratulate you on your new time slot, and I think this could be one of the best things that happened to this country in a long time.
You know, I asked a loaded question when I announced it last Wednesday, and I said, do you think the time change will affect the course of American political history? Will I change things starting in January? Remember, it's a midterm election year. It's sort of right in time, the January change. The audience will be 4 to 5 times bigger, at least. People who've never heard the show are going to join the Savages and Savagettes who've been with me for 20 years, some of them. And they're going to say, I hate him. Who is this guy? Then they're going to listen and say, wait a minute, he makes sense. Maybe he knows what's going on.
Well, so, that'd be great.
I mean, look, Providence was once a fairly conservative city, wasn't it?
It may have been before I was born, but not since in my lifetime. It's not. It's a disaster.
But wasn't it once run by old line Italian people?
Well, the city of Providence, yes, it was. But at this point, it's what they called a sanctuary city. So it is.
Oh, I see. They need the illegal aliens like they do in San Francisco, where the bums walk. Well, okay, I don't want to go into it. I hear you. But I thank you for listening. WABC, Lauren, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Lauren?
Last week you said let the chips fall where they may. But this chick is going to fall because I'm East Coast. And my 10-year-old dog, Tony, I said, we can't go anywhere till Savage is over. And he's like, no. So we're wide awake and buzzing around late.
Oh, so I'm on now in New York, 9 o'clock, which is very late for most people who work for a living. That's the absolute truth. Unless you're a club-going leech who comes home and sleeps till 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a hairnet on, so you can collect Obamacare and then go out clubbing and shooting up acid at night, or taking acid at night, or whatever you may do. Yeah, you generally go to sleep by 9:30. People who work,
but not if you're a Savagette.
Well, but I understand what you're saying. You're happy that I'm changing to the 3 to 6 coming January.
Some sleep. I believe it's January 24th. I will actually get some sleep, and so will my 10-year-old dog.
Wait. What's January 24th?
Oh, I thought that was the date you were changing.
No. I'm doing the time change January 2nd.
Oh.
I may even be on New Year's Day, depending upon what I feel like doing. Well, I'm not going to go out New Year's Eve. I don't do that. Who needs New Year's Eve? Schmendrix go out on New Year's Eve. Young kids go out on New Year's Eve. Big deal. What are they screaming about New Year's Eve? But anyway, no, I don't go out New Year's Eve. Who needs to be with the animals in the street? I don't need it. But I'll be on the air probably January 2nd for 100% sure.
Fantastic.
It's a weird time this year because New Year's Eve is Wednesday night, I believe, or Tuesday night. It's a horrible time. So most Americans who don't work for a living or fake working for a living, what they're going to do is they're going to go away the weekend before and not come back until the weekend after. Like, they're going to push it into a 10-dayer. But anyway, whatever. You and the dog will enjoy it. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. I took Teddy to the city yesterday. We hung out in North Beach. We sat on Columbus Avenue. We watched the world go by. It's a beautiful thing to watch, I got to tell you. I like the world going by. I'm a people watcher. I don't know about you. It's where I derive a lot of my insights from, just the ordinary people walking around and what they do. You can derive a lot of insights about America and society in general by just watching people's behavior. The streets are filled with European tourists. Do they not work in Europe? What are they doing here? It's late September and they're still not back to work in Europe? No, they're on 16-week vacations. That's what socialism is. They don't want a government shutdown in France and Germany. They like the welfare state, wouldn't you, if you had 3 months off every summer? That's why the professors are all left-wing fanatics. They don't understand that their tenure is paid for by those of us who work. The professors, for example, who don't work at all. They teach 6 contact hours. I love how they call it contact hours, as though they're contacting a disease. The professors say, oh, I have... They grade themselves on how few contact hours they have with students. The fewer the contact hours with students, the higher they are in the pecking order in the universities. So a lowly assistant professor or a TA, a teaching assistant, might have 16 contact hours with the infected students. Contact hours, they have to actually teach. Then the associate professor has 8 to 10 contact hours with the students. And then, of course, the full professor is so busy doing research, such as whether horses can be, well, I can't even say it on the radio. If I read you some of the funding, the NSF funding, the NIH funding, your hair would stand up, where these billions of dollars in scientific research go. Oh, yeah, you think it's all science today? What percent of science research goes for degenerate sexual research? What percent? Does anyone know how much of it's been hijacked by these sexual deviants who've taken over the science industry? They go to Thailand and study hookers in a brothel, male hookers, and they come back with a study that says, I remember this one was 2 years ago, they come back with a study that says, yes, it's true that alcohol definitely incites sexual behavior amongst Thai homosexuals. That costs something like $693,000. And then Obama has the nerve last week to say that we need absolutely not to shut the government down because we need to advance our investment in science, our investment in scientific research to make sure that the tenured professors can continue to go to Thailand and brothels in Mexico, for example, or Guatemala, to study various and sundry important advances in human understanding. I say, give them a good shutdown. So the contact hours, the full profs have no contact hours. They're so busy doing their important research, making $175,000, $250,000 a year, and not having any contact with the students, such as, here's a very important scientific study, global warming. We all know it's a fraud. We know it's a complete and total fraud. There's been global cooling for the last 10 years. 1 million acres of sea ice increased in the Arctic. Yet it does not stop the con men and the con women in the global warming racket. It's a racket like, you see, if Al Capone were alive today, Al Capone would not use a billy club. He would not use a snub-nosed 32 to make his fortune. He would use the United Nations and the Scientific Establishment Instrumentation Society to come up with fraudulent data based upon computer programs that they rigged to predict that there'd be global warming and a catastrophe would occur, which didn't occur. And after it didn't occur, they would say, it is occurring, but you can't see it. And we need more money to continue our important research to save the world from a calamity that never has occurred and never will occur. So today, the long-awaited United Nations report on global warming came out, which was, as expected, a complete and total fraud. So the spokesmouth for the UN gave this speech. Neil, play it.
This report constitutes an alarm clock moment for the world, because this report will tell us again that everything that we thought we knew on climate change has actually been underestimated, that the effects of climate change are actually will be upon us faster and in a
criminal,
more intense fashion than we had thought.
Interpol should arrest you. If there was a rational Interpol that would arrest this woman for pulling a fraud on the world's population, a fraud of the highest order. It's like calling Islam the religion of peace in light of the fact that in Kenya last week, did you hear what happened in Kenya? It was hushed up, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was hushed up about the 70 or so civilians who were slaughtered mercilessly. They were given a quiz on Islam. If they didn't know the basics, who was Muhammad's father or this or that, they were shot in front of their children, or their children were tortured in front of the father and mother first. They found children with ice picks, with knives in them, thrown into freezers. Babies were cut out of the womb of pregnant women by practitioners of the religion of peace who broke into that mall. You didn't read any of this? And they did it all in the name of a religion. Not because they were impoverished, not because Israel is in the Middle East, but because this is how conquest occurs. This is how conquest occurs. Small groups of armies invade, terrorize a population, and convert large numbers of people to Islam. It's how Islam spread throughout the globe so rapidly 1,000 years ago. The same exact methodology is being used. So don't underestimate your enemy. That's all I can say to you. Never, ever underestimate your enemy. Not in his tactics. Ever. Never. Not one word was said about this in the major media that I know of. Here and there, a few people got very excited about it, as they should. They were screaming. In fact, one liberal Democrat on Fox turned out to be the only one who said anything about it. The rest were dummied up on it. They didn't say a word. O'Reilly didn't, because, the Saudis fund 20% of Fox News. 18%, the last I checked, they own the News Corporation. Saudi money, and you know that you can't say a word about that. No, hush, hush, my darling. My friends, my fellow Americans, we are in such trouble because of the radical left-wing fanatics who have seized the government, who have seized the media, who have seized academia. I don't know if America can be saved. I just don't know. America's future hangs in the balance like a loose tooth. I will be back to take your calls on all of these topics, including...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So we're on the verge of a false flag event, the government shutdown. And I've saved this for the end of the hour because I know many of you were not really focused on what I was talking about. What are the politicians really doing behind your back while throwing you a feint about shutting down the government, which is never going to happen? What they're doing is both the Republicans and the Democrats are working for an amnesty bill behind the scenes. Oh, yeah, I did my research. Here, I'll read it to you, Associated Press. What, in other words, what I just said to you is you're only seeing the shadows on the wall. This was written about by the ancient Greeks thousands of years ago. Great Greek philosopher wrote that. Was it Plato? Was it Aristotle? Where the people only see the shadows on the wall. You don't actually see what's going on. You're looking at the shadows, but you don't even see the players. You don't even see what they're doing. So I saw this article and I said, bingo, what the polls are doing behind your back. House Republicans work immigration behind scenes. Erica Werner, Associated Press, Dateline Today. Immigration overhaul legislation has been dormant in the House for months, but a few Republicans are working behind the scenes to advance it at a time when the Capitol is immersed in a partisan brawl over government spending and President Barack Obama's health care law. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Bob Goodlatte, has been discussing possible legal status for the estimated 11 million immigrants. Of course, it's 33 to 50 million. Plato shadows on the wall. He's also been working with House Majority Leader, the fraud, phony, backstabbing Eric Cantor, a fellow Virginia Republican, on a bill offering citizenship to immigrants brought illegally to the U.S. as children. Representatives Raul Labrador, R. Idaho, and we can call him Potato Head, and Ted Poe, R. Texas, call him Edgar Allan Poe, or we can call him the Black Sparrow, are working on a plan to create a visa program allowing more lower-skilled workers into the country. Goodlatte and the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, Rep. Mike McCall, R. Texas, hold out hopes for floor action by late October on a series of immigration bills that have already passed the committees. In other words, while they've got you looking at a fake government shutdown, which is never going to happen, they're really working behind the scenes to make sure they pay off the illegal alien lobbying groups that have paid their way into the system. The American voter be damned. That's my opinion. Senator Speaker John Boehner, R. Ohio, and other members of the House Republican so-called leadership, they're really called Democrats in drag. Let's call it that way. Boehner and the rest are Democrats in drag. So we'll call them, and I can't say what I'd like to say because it's a family show. I've given you the imagery, though, right? Senator John Boehner, Republican in drag only, and other members of the House drag leadership also support a resolution to an issue that has become a political drag for their party. I keep seeing these stories about men in their 60s who decide that they're really women trapped in men's bodies, which is one of the greatest psychological frauds in the history of mankind. If you're gay, just be gay. You don't have to have your schmendrick cut off and become a woman. What kind of idiocy is this? Men have been gay since the beginning of recorded history. What's with a man trapped in a woman's body, and the guy goes and mutilates himself and suddenly dresses up like his wife, and he's uglier as a woman than he was as a man? That's what he's been waiting for at age 68, to look like an old, horrible woman from Boca Raton? I say to myself, a woman trapped in a man's body. I think John Boehner is a Democrat trapped in a Republican body. I think Eric Cantor is a liberal trapped in a Republican body. You get the picture. You get the fill in the... Take it and run with it. So that's what they're doing. You're working behind the immigration behind the scenes. While you're focused on this, they're doing that. That's how government works. Always screwing the people. I learned this about 15 years ago. Write it down. You'll never forget it. Write it down. You'll never forget what I'm going to tell you. Here it is. Whenever the two parties agree and there's no dissension between them, you can be sure of one thing. They're screwing the American taxpayer. That's all. That's all you can take that to the bank. Notice I didn't say the American people, because there is no single American people. There's 50% of the people who do nothing but suck off those of us who work. They don't count at all. Then there's about 50% of us who work and pay taxes. We call ourselves the American taxpayer. So whenever the two parties are not fighting, it means they're screwing us, the American taxpayer. Obama seems to be offended by any kind of dissension. He seems to forget that it's a democracy of sorts, this republic, where there's supposed to be dissension and discord in order to arrive at a truth or a commonality. He doesn't like that because he feels he knows everything and he is everything and he's a be-all and end-all of everything and he's the god of all knowledge. So to him, anyone who disagrees with him is a right-winger who, I guess, should be excommunicated. I wouldn't expect that. I could expect I wake up tomorrow or the next day and find out that Obama has outlawed the Tea Party and declared them criminals and have them arrested. And then, of course, the George Soros-funded so-called journalists, in other words, the Stalinist scribes, will say it's long overdue. We can't have extremists hijacking the American economy anymore with their idiocy to call for a belt tightening. No, they should be arrested. That's right. So we've had it basically a coup. We're a step away from an actual coup in the country. Obama's building up to it. Anyway, I think I've said enough for the hour. I've made more friends in 1 hour than you could ever imagine. In 1 hour, I've made more friends on this program than you could ever, ever imagine. In fact, I made more friends in this hour than you probably meet in the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, when you think about it. Now I got a shocker for you. Remember I played Chamberlain's speech on Friday and Obama's speech and you were shocked by the similarities? Are you ready for this to prove that I may be more prophetic than even I believe? Are you ready for this? Today is the 75th anniversary of Chamberlain's speech to the British Parliament. Almost to the day Obama has pacified Iran. Almost to the day that Chamberlain pacified Hitler, Obama pacified the killers in Iran.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life. And the long continuity of our institutions and our empire.
And yet we have an appeaser in the White House. And yet we have an appeaser in Britain. All of the West run by left-wing appeasers. At the same time, the Hitlers of our time, Hitlers in headscarves, are killing women and children, gouging out eyes, torturing and murdering and mutilating in the name of their distorted view of their religion. Appeasement in the White House. A man in the White House who came from nowhere, of unknown origins, put in power by unknown forces, appeasing the Hitler of Iran and calling members of the opposition party who represent the American taxpayer terrorists themselves. Yes, it's all about appeasement. And that sound piece that was put together by Phil for the Savage Nation, if it were played over and over and over again, even the ignorant drugged masses might be awakened from their slumber before they themselves are the grateful undead. The grateful dead. The grateful dead. The grateful dead. It's as though the entire nation is filled with young people who are already dead, the walking dead. They nullify their very existence by their lifestyle and by their drugging. Sure, the grateful dead, but they're running the country. And it's not a joke. Instead, we're appeasing the Hitler and the Hitlers of our time. And in San Francisco, take a look at what occurred in this city, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard over the weekend. San Francisco rebels in sickness. They had what's called a Folsom Street Fair, where people were tied up, whipped in public, in ways that you can't imagine. All the while that radical Islam is making moves around the globe. Moves around the globe. And here's John Kerry. This is beyond belief. He says that the terror recruits for radical Islam need economic opportunities. This is the biggest lie that I have seen in my lifetime. John Kerry, by perpetuating the debunked link between poverty and radicalism, is literally leading us to our own graves. And that soundbite that I played for you of Chamberlain, excuse me, I just played you Churchill, not Chamberlain. What I'm about to play for you, between what I've just played for you and what I'm about to play for you, should be played around the world over and over and over again, because all of Western civilization is hanging in the balance. It's been attacked by the feminists, by the leftists for 40 years, and the radical Islamists moved into the breach, into the void. They let the feminists do their initial work for them. They let the communists do their initial work for them. And never, ever underestimate Rouhani. Never underestimate Rouhani. He is 50 times smarter than Obama. 50 to 100 times smarter than Obama. If you actually looked at Rouhani, you'll see how clever this man really is. You'll find out who he is. You'll find exactly that he's not a moderate. You'll find out that in 1978, Rouhani helped Khomeini found the regime and assisted in plotting the country's vast terror operations. You'll find that Rouhani was chairman of the Supreme National Security Council from 1989 until 2005, during which time the council is reported to have helped mastermind the 1994 bombing of the Jewish Cultural Center in Buenos Aires and of the Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia. You'll find that, like his presidential predecessors, who they made believe have gone away, Rouhani has demonstrated clear anti-American and anti-Semitic views. In 2002, Obama's new friend Rouhani conducted an interview with ABC News in which he blamed the Jews for America's foreign policy. He said that after September 11th, the hardliners, especially the Zionist lobby, became more active and unfortunately influenced Mr. Bush. Rouhani also defended Hezbollah as a legitimate political group and called Israel a terrorist nation. Shall I go on? Because someone has to go on. Someone has to go on. Meanwhile, in America, the left-wing fanatics who have seized power, run the media, run the government, run academia, are running wild over the American taxpayer. And that is why I invite you to call the Savage Nation right now at 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. I realize this may be too much for you. What I just gave you in the first 10 minutes of the Savage Nation tonight are like a Persian miniature, to beg the statement Persian. But when Persia was Persia, there were great artists in Persia, and they did Persian miniatures, where in a small miniature painting, they created a masterpiece the size of a postage stamp. And my show consists of many such Persian miniatures over the years, and I've just played you one of them. If you care to comment on anything we're talking about, is Obama secretly letting Iran build a nuke? The government shutdown. Do you still believe in the fraud of global warming? 855-400-7282 will get you to reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. Now let's go to the callers. Let us go to the callers. I have such good callers. WWIQ in Philadelphia. Alex, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I've been a listener to you for some months now. I was impressed with your staff's assembling that interesting collection of recordings, Churchill and Chamberlain. And you were right. Today is the 75th anniversary of the Munich Agreement. The actual date on the Munich Agreement is September 30th, 1938.
Isn't it astonishing when the Spanish philosopher Santayana wrote, also in the 1930s, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Doesn't that send chills up your spine to realize we're repeating our history of appeasing another Hitler?
Yes, absolutely. And what's interesting is Neville Chamberlain obviously never read Mein Kampf, because Hitler had pretty much telegraphed his intentions many, many years before he came to power. And before he signed the Munich Agreement. But yet Neville Chamberlain is like a lot of the naive politicos today. They have their head in the sand. And
Well, let me interject right here. We keep hearing that Islam is the religion of peace. And it is for billions of it is for hundreds of millions of Muslims who want nothing to do with radicalism. But it never takes a majority to convert an entire religion into something much different than it was intended to be. And right now we have a very tiny minority who is basically moving the entire religion into an extremism that the world has not seen for 1,000 years. Meanwhile, we're being brainwashed into not being able to say what we see going on. For example, we had a shooting at the Navy yards 10 days ago that everyone's forgotten. It was conducted by a jihadist. We were told it had nothing to do with radicalism. And yet he had a website with the name Muhammad on it. Shortly thereafter, the Kenya Mall incident occurred. 70 civilians were brutally tortured, and Muslims were released. This is Hitlerism all over again. The Nazis separated the Jews from the general population and killed the Jews and let the non-Jews go. This happened right in front of our eyes, and yet you don't read any of this, do you?
Well, as you pointed out many, many times over the weeks and months, the American press have basically capitulated. They are no longer journalists. They're writing a house organ for the Democratic Party.
Yes, which is Pravda or Izvestia. They may as well be working for Stalin. Then over the weekend, 50 Muslim students were executed in the name of Islam. Now, these things are not occurring in a vacuum. These were Muslim students killed by Islamic terrorists who disguised themselves in Nigeria as military. They went in, they opened fire and killed the students, they moved on to the next group and killed them, one surviving student said, in rural Gujba in Nigeria. Slaughtered innocent children between the ages of 18 and 22, 50 of them killed by radical Islamists, and we read nothing about it over the weekend. One body had its fist clenched to the chest in a protective gesture. Another had hands clasped under the chin as if in prayer. A third had arms raised in surrender. And we read what they did to the innocents in Kenya in the mall last week. Children were found with knives in their bodies thrown into refrigerators. Parents had their eyes cut out in front of their children. Women had babies cut out of their womb. It's astonishing to me that the whole world didn't say enough is enough and call for increased drone strikes, because they know where these people came from. They know where they didn't come out of the blue. But here's the terrible truth. They're not acting in an isolation chamber. They're acting because so-called Islamic scholars have written a decree stating that it's okay to conduct such a war against non-Muslims and even Muslims who are not practicing a severe enough form of Islam, and to kill them. It came from Islamic decrees by so-called Islamic scholars who have names and addresses and are known to the Western governments. Alex, you probably know all of this.
Well, I listened to your program because you always point out some interesting facts, what I find terrible about these atrocities is that conspicuously absent are any Muslim leaders condemning it.
Well, forget Muslim leaders. How about our wonderful Sterling Council on American Islamic Relations Organization here in the United States of America? Who do you think they are? Did they put out a press release condemning the butchering in Kenya or the butchering in Nigeria? Why are they even allowed to operate in America? Why are they used to train the FBI and the CIA? Why are they invited to the White House? Why does Obama consider them friend and the Republicans a foe? Well, it's all in a name, Alex.
His name
is not Barack, Jesus, Obama, is it?
Then simply the date of...
Is his name Barack, Jesus Obama?
I see Obama...
His name is Barack Hussein Obama. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
People with disabilities storm house building, demand Boehner leave Obamacare alone. No kidding. I wonder why 200 people with disabilities set up camp outside a House office building and occupied the halls inside, demanding that House Speaker John Boehner, R. Ohio, stop trying to delay or defund Obamacare. Would you think it has something to do with their benefits? Now, if they're so disabled, how could they have gotten to Washington armed with megaphones and banners? If they're so disabled, how could the protesters take over the steps of entrances into the Longworth building? If they're so disabled, how could they be so vocal and so active and so energetic? How could they argue that without the communist health care law in effect, they would lose the community first option What is the community first option that these disabled people are so concerned about? Well, it's a program which provides matching federal funds to states to help people with disabilities use home-based care instead of institutionalized care or nursing homes. And they scream, these disabled people. What do we want, Boehner? When do we want him now? They chanted. Really? Now, if they're so disabled, how did they get to Washington? If they're so disabled, how did they get to the halls of Washington and take over a building? And if they're so disabled, well, you get the picture. Joe Tate of Austin, who came to Washington for the protest, said people with disabilities have long waited for a program like the Community First Option. That's very interesting. What is the Community First Option? Well, it permits people to be taken care of at home. That's very nice. Does anyone know how expensive that is? Does anyone know how expensive home care is? Does anyone know how much graft and fraud there might be in the home care program? Does anyone know how many racketeers are in the home care program? Does anyone know how many racketeers have taken over various and sundry aspects of health care in America? Does anyone know how much of the health care industry is run by organized crime in America? Does anyone know any of these questions? Well, we do in a way. We know that we're paying for it. That's all we got to know. That's all we got to know, is that someone has to pay for these gold-plated health care programs. See, it's very nice to be able to offer all of these services that the liberals like to trot out at times like this. But at the end of the day, somebody pays for these services. And that would be yours truly. Yours truly. I pay for these services with 15% state taxes in the state of California and something like 40% of federal taxes for the federal government. That means 55 to 60% of every dollar I earn goes for these services and for the public servants who are working so hard on my behalf.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The federal government is America's largest employer. More than 2 million civilian workers and 1.4 million active duty military serve in all 50 states and all around the world.
Did you hear what this radical, dangerous, left-wing president just said? The federal government is America's largest employer. When did America become a socialist nation? Answer, when the federal government became America's largest employer. That's what socialism is. It's textbook. Obama is in the long line of other socialists around the world, transforming America in front of your eyes into something it was never written to be, nor intended to be. It was supposed to be a nation of free people, not ruled by a group of bureaucrats, not ruled by these bureaucrats, certainly not supporting these bureaucrats with the grotesque benefits and salaries. No, that's not America. That's Obama's vision of a socialist America. He is on a bullet train. Obama is the engineer of a bullet train to transform America into something it was never intended to be. You can mark those words down. Obama is the engineer on a bullet train taking America to a place it was never intended to be. And anyone who opposes him, anyone even voices a question or a comment, is called a right-winger. In the great tradition of demagogues before him in other countries, Obama is perhaps the most dangerous demagogue in American history. I don't know of another president who ever attained this level of distemper towards the taxpayer. I know on local levels there have been some pretty bad people who are along these lines. Huey Long in Louisiana comes to mind, but that was a long time ago. People have probably forgotten him. Kingfish. Obama's in the line of a kingfish type who's taken over the White House, goes on the world stage and appeases the Hitler of our time, tells us there's a fatwa. In his own words, he repeats the big lie of Iran that they've issued a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons when everybody knows, anyone who studied this knows it's a lie. A lie, one of the most dangerous lies in the world is to repeat the big lie by the President of the United States. And think about it. The same man who would shake hands and meet with, he wouldn't shake, actually, the president of Iran wouldn't shake hands with Obama. Instead, he had Louis Farrakhan to a private dinner in New York City last week. The president then goes and repeats the president of Iran's big lie about a fatwa against the development of nuclear weapons, and then treats the president of Iran with more dignity, more respect, and more trust than he does the members of the United States Tea Party who represent the taxpayers of America. Never forget who they are. They're not foreigners. They're not strangers. They're not invaders. They're not from Mars. They're you and I. That's what the Tea Party. What is the Tea Party? It's taxpayers who've had enough, who say, tighten your belt. You're bankrupting the country. You're killing us. Yes, you inherited $1 trillion in debt, but you made it $4 trillion. Any child knows that if he spends more than he makes, he's going to go broke. But Obama is like a child who takes apart a watch and can't put it back together again. And he so enjoys destroying the watch that he destroys one watch after another. That would be every institution in America. He takes them apart one by one and can't put them back together again. So now he wants to take apart the healthcare system, which is flawed and grotesque, but still provides some of the best healthcare in the world. He wants to make it even worse. Not better. It's not the Affordable Care Act. That's one of the greatest propaganda lies in history. It's something only a Nancy Pelosi and her minions could come up with. The Affordable Care Act? The young people are going to get screwed royally. The people without any illnesses are going to pay for all of the leeches at the end of the line. The illegal aliens, those abusing the system, those who visit doctor after doctor after doctor and get drug after drug after drug. Who do you think is going to pay for it? The young people who have no illnesses at all. It's not an Affordable Care Act. Not at all. It's the opposite of it. Right now, we have a very good medical care system, the best in the world, which is why the people come from around the world for the medical care in America. Everybody knows how good it is. I had a personal experience with it over the weekend. Child was born in the family. I saw one of the most perfect obstetrics wards and neonatal wards and child care. I've never seen anything as beautiful in my life. The staff was wonderful. The care was wonderful. The hospital was clean and organized. Do you actually believe that this standard of care will exist 10 years from now? If this Leninist is permitted to jam this down our throats, do you actually believe that this level of care will be provided to a young mother giving birth to a baby? Do you believe as an older person that the care you receive today at the hands of your doctors will be around in 5 years if this Leninist is permitted to put his miserable Cuban-style system into play in this country? Do you actually believe that this extremist cares about you? Do you believe that this radical extremist and his goons care about your well-being? Do you actually believe that? Well, I don't, because I know it's not true. You know, it's only Monday. It's a long week ahead of us. And tonight, of course, at midnight, which is not too far from now on the East Coast, the charade is being played out of a government shutdown. Oh, the sky is going to fall. Oh, the national parks will be closed down. Oh, they'll cut off this. Oh, they'll cut off that. They don't have to do that, of course. They don't have to do it at all. He has line items in that budget. He could pay the police. He could pay the firemen. He could pay the soldiers. He could pay the military. And he could say, well, we're going to keep essential services going, which is, of course, what they're going to do, because this has occurred before. So non-essential services will be cut, really. Now, if they're called non-essential services, logic would dictate that they're non-essential services. So if they're non-essential services, why aren't they eliminated by, let's say, 50%? In other words, even a child could figure that out, Mr. Obama. If you say that you're not going to fund non-essential services, so a child would say, wait a minute, they're not essential services, so why don't you eliminate 50% of them? It means that they're just patronage jobs. They're grotesque. They're overpaid. The pensions are out of control. We don't need them. They're called non-essential. The government, the country was never created to create a bureaucracy of this size. With these kind of pensions, we can't afford it. We're broke. You took a $1 trillion deficit and ran it into $4 trillion, Mr. Obama. So obviously you don't know you don't know jack about running anything. You never ran a business. You never provided a service. You have no idea what you are doing, but you have a booming voice, and you love to hear your voice when you speak. You love to hear your voice, Mr. Obama. It sounds good to be king. But do you actually know what you're doing, Mr. Obama? Do you have any idea that by appeasing Iran, you're going to guarantee that Israel will be wiped off the planet? Do you have any idea that by forcing the American people to support this grotesque bureaucracy, you're going to bankrupt the country for 100 years to come? Can anybody understand what I'm saying to you? That by attacking those of us who are pleading with him and the Socialist Democrat Party USA to stop their nonsensical behavior and calling us right-wingers, they're not doing us a service. They're not doing you a service. They're not doing America a service. They're doing all of us a disservice. So at this late hour, as I stand on the floor of the Real People's House, which is talk radio, make no mistake about it, we are what is called in the British system, I believe used to be called, members without portfolio. That's what we are. We in talk radio, those of us who do these floor speeches every day and every night, are in essence unelected members of parliament without portfolio. We have no real standing. And yet we speak for so many millions of people. How is that possible? How is it possible that men like Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage, Rush will be my lead-in on all of these Cumulus stations, incidentally, with the exception of WABC. I don't know who they're putting on in New York, but I'll do very well standing on my own in New York at the time I'm on. And Rush will be my lead-in, whether he wants to or not. He will be my lead-in. He does a great job. He has a nice audience. So do I. We are members of Parliament without a portfolio. We have no official standing. And yet we have millions of people who listen to us religiously because they have no voice in the corrupt, twisted system that has evolved, that has been hijacked. We have, in essence, a dictatorship that is punctuated by several elections every few years. But we have no voice in between these times. And that's why we exist. We give the people a voice. We are the voice of the voiceless. We give the people hope where there is no hope. And we hope to God that the demagogues who run the country will eventually listen to the people before a civil war breaks out. We pray every day that before the people are pushed to a breaking point and a civil war occurs in this country, they will hear the people who say, Mr. President, no more spending! Shut that monster down! Cut 50% of the non-essential jobs, Mr. Obama. By your own definition, they're non-essential. We beg you, we plead with you, you are the leader, we are not the leader, we have no power, all we have is an appeal to present to you, Mr. President. And that is what we're doing tonight on the Savage Nation in this late hour. We are making an appeal to this radical, left-wing demagogue, Barack Obama, to shut it down. To shut it down, take a deep breath and say, well, wait a minute, let me compromise somewhere. Let me cut some percentage of these non-essential jobs. Let me cut some of the fat out of the Defense Department budget. Not out of the combat troops. Increase their pay. No, cut it out of the contractor slime who are bleeding us dry, creating weapons that don't work, buying things that don't exist. You can even cut it out of the healthcare system, Mr. Obama, without wrecking the greatest healthcare system the world has ever seen. You know you could cut it out. You could do line item vetoes in the healthcare system that exists right now and save billions of dollars in 1 year. I could do it. And I'm not an economist. I could do it in 1 year. I could save this country billions and billions of dollars in the healthcare system. All you got to do is go to a hospital and see what they do, and you could understand what could be cut out, and the healthcare wouldn't be modified, wouldn't change in to one iota. You could cut so much of it out. Anyone going into a hospital knows where the money is disappearing. Just take a look at it. All the subsidies and all of the free care and this and that. All you got to do is put a highway patrolman in every emergency room in America and say, if you're not a citizen, I'm sorry, we can't give you a medical care system that we can't afford. I'm sorry, we'd like to care for you, Mr. and Mrs. Whatever. We can't pay for it. We're broke. We can't do it. Now, if you're in an accident, we'll take care of you. We'll triage you. But we can't put you ahead of everybody else in this country. We can't afford it. There's a price for everything. I noticed it occurring 20 years ago. I saw it where this was going. Any observer of American life could have seen what would happen. I watched liberalism going back to the 70s when I was a student, a graduate student. I was older at that point. I was near 40 years old, 35, 40. I don't remember anymore. I went back to grad school to get my doctorate. I got it in 3 years, but I spent the good 3 years while working at two jobs, by the way, getting my PhD, because I had two young children. I didn't have a government grant, no government subsidy, no scholarship, no fellowship, no handout, nothing. And I did it anyway, because I'm the man-child in the promised land, but I watched what was going on. I watched, and I heard, and I listened, and I watched. I heard the liberals say, work that system. Use the system. Take from the system what you can get. And whole armies of them were created in the state of California just to rip off the taxpayers. Just to rip them off, saying, work the system, honey. We'll teach you how to work the system. All the social workers, of whom I was once a social worker, I was once a member of that group. I worked as a social worker. They taught the people who came into the welfare offices how to work the system over and rip it off. So the liberals wrecked society. And now they're screaming at those of us who pay their salaries and the leeches' incomes and the leeches' benefits, which they are not entitled to by and large. They're telling us we're evil right-wingers. Well, let me ask you something, all of you good, you do-gooders. Where would this country be without of us evil taxpayers, these right-wingers that you hate so much? And what about you tenured professors who hate your contact hours with your students? Where do you think your grotesque salaries come from for your non-teaching? Who do you think pays for it? You think it comes out of thin air? Where do your grants and contracts come from for your absurd, fraudulent scientific studies? Where do you think it comes from? Who do you think funds the NSF and the NIH? Why, it's these evil right-wingers who pay taxes. And so forth and so on. I'm sure you're all bright enough to put two and two together. We're broke. Your king, Obama, inherited a $1 trillion deficit, and your incompetent king, Obama, has taken a $1 trillion deficit and run it up to $4 trillion, and now he's screaming at those of us who want it to be reined in and stopped. He's calling us names. Your king, Obama, speaks in dulcet tones about the so-called president of Iran and trusts him, and yet does not trust those of us who pay his salary. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, and Mr. President, and members of Congress, wherever you may be, and some of you are obviously listening to the program, not because you like me or believe a word I say, but you really want to hear what people are saying who don't believe a word you're saying. Well, you just heard it. And now I'll take a short break so we can earn money to pay the bills, which is something you in Washington know nothing about.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I feel as though I were on the floor of a house tonight just trying to give a speech. And it's falling on deaf ears, just as your speeches and your crying fall on deaf ears. Because we have a dictatorship in America. The people's voices are never heard. We are the silenced majority. There was once a phrase called the silent majority. We are the silenced majority. We have no outlet except for talk radio and the internet where you can write comments on blogs, but even that's being closed down now. We have a whole article on that from Prison Planet, how bloggers, meaning responses to articles, are being closed down by the government media complex. Did you see that CNN was going to do a special on Hillary Clinton, and not one of the 100 people contacted would talk to them? Hillary Clinton's aides threatened them, apparently, and they refused to do it. So they canceled the biopic on Hillary Clinton. That shows you what the government media complex really is. So now we're focused on the countdown to a shutdown, which is it's a sham. It's a sham because as they're talking about that, what the politicians are doing behind your back is totally understandable. They're working an immigration reform bill, meaning amnesty for the 30 million illegal aliens and their children and anyone else they want to bring in from the third world as we speak. And I mean Republicans and Democrats alike. Eric Cantor is amongst them, leading it. Eric Cantor. You had hope in him? You actually believed Eric Cantor was some great hope for the American people? Gone. Raul Labrador, potato from Idaho. Edgar Allan Poe, Republican of Texas. The Black Sparrow is working on a plan to create a visa program allowing more lower-skilled workers into the country. It's like the sparrows are falling out of the sky all over again for reasons we don't understand, probably updrafts. So here we are. The world is a bad place. It's a good place. It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. It's a time like every other time. Politicians are lying and the people are crying. We're between heaven and between hell. And you still believe in global warming? You care about a government shutdown while Obama's secretly letting Iran build a nuke? I don't. I don't believe a word I hear. There's shadows on the wall. They're doing what they want to do behind your back. They got you focused on this while they're doing that. And it'll all be over, and life will go on. 2 million federal employees under Barack Obama, who is the number one employer in the United States of America. Do they produce a product that you really want? Do these 2 million government employees produce a product that you need or want? Well, I guess in some places they do. If they're air traffic controllers, that's a service that we need. There are probably many other federal jobs that we absolutely need. But if the government shutdown occurs and they lay off the non-essential workers, again, I have to reiterate my main point that even a high school dropout can figure out. If they're non-essential workers, then it means they're non-essential workers. Why don't you eliminate 20, 30, 40, 50% of them? If you can lay them off without any drastic catastrophe occurring to American society, it means they're non-essential. And that's one place you can begin in your belt tightening, Mr. Obama. It's logical. I admit that you would not have as many employees as you currently have, meaning voters and workers. And that's why I say, a president who appeases the head of Iran and believes the head of Iran and hates the American taxpayer so much that he calls us right-wingers, as though that's a dirty word, when I consider it a badge of honor, by the way, is a man that only liberals can trust.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Talk 560 KSFO. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Got your word, like a slave on me. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
Welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation for Monday, September 30th, 2013. It's the last day of September, which means we go into the fourth quarter of the year. Fiscally, this is a very important day, obviously, because of the government budget, which is out of control, and they refuse to tighten their belt, and they're screaming like crazy. Apparently, anyone who wants to tighten their belt is a right-wing maniac. Well, you can count me amongst those who would like the government to tighten their belt. I don't want to be eaten alive by these tax leeches. They're sickening. Have you looked at your paycheck recently? Where do you think the money is going? Where do you think it's going? To the grotesque, bloated bureaucracies around America. To the leeches on Social Security, SSI, SSDI, welfare that don't deserve them. Not those who paid into the system, but all the leeches who never paid into the system. Tens of millions of them on false disability. We're also talking about, is Obama secretly letting Iran build a nuke? Do you care about the government shutdown? Do you actually still believe in that fraud called global warming? The evidence doesn't support it. We're also playing clips, sound clips, comparing President Obama, who eerily sounds like the lunatic Neville Chamberlain, who almost gave Britain away to Nazi Germany in 1939, just as Obama's about to give America away to the radical Islamists. Not out of design, but by weakness and liberal idiocy. Let's go to michaelsavage.com. You'll see the headline. Savage moving to drive time beginning January. Michael gets the catbird seat. If you haven't heard the news, Savage should take Hannity time slot on Cumulus. I am heir apparent to afternoon drive beginning in January. That is the big news in radio. It's a shocker. It's a shocker. It's a nuke. Savage moving to drive time beginning in January. I'm in the catbird seat. That's it. Also, see the headline of the San Francisco Revels in Sickness. I can't even describe what went on in the city this weekend. A celebration of the most vile, disgusting human behavior imaginable, next to sheer murder, is openly displayed in San Francisco and called diversity. Meanwhile, John Kerry says terror recruits need economic opportunities. Can you believe this? John Kerry is perpetuating a debunked link between poverty and radicalism. He refuses to acknowledge it has nothing to do with poverty. It has everything to do with Islam. Islam. Mutilating people in a mall in Kenya, cutting their eyes out, stabbing children with knives and throwing them in freezers is because they didn't have economic opportunities? This is who's running America, and you don't believe liberalism is a mental disorder? They are a clear and present danger to all of our survival. Here in the Bay Area of San Francisco, Oakland robberies are out of control because of liberalism. The robbery capital of America is not Washington, D.C. It is not Detroit, Michigan. No, if you look at the chart, you're not going to believe it. Oakland, California is at the top of the list, one after the other. No city had more robberies per capita than Oakland, California. Oakland had 10.9 robberies per 1,000 residents. And 2013 is shaping up to be even worse. Can you believe this? Well, you better believe it. They're holding people up in the street, including the young yuppies who are moving in who think it's wonderful to be around diversity. Shall I give you one story? You probably haven't read this story. Peter Prato, a 34-year-old photographer, was walking with friends in July on the south side of Lake Merritt in Oakland when his group was suddenly surrounded by six men. No description of the six men. One of the men pointed a gun and the others collected backpacks, laptops, and a bike from the white techies walking around Lake Merritt, thinking they were still on a college campus. It was so disappointing, said Prato. We had just gotten done with a conversation and the other state of things in the city. That's America today. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and I'm the doctor. Here in San Francisco, there's a story on the front of the newspaper about a poor couple, a little Hearts and Flowers story about an elderly couple who, well, let's put it this way. They've been living in a very low rent for a very long period of time. And now the owner of the building wants to evict them and rent the apartment at market rates. In other words, he wants a return on his investment, as is done in an investment society. Here's the headline. Reprieve an SF eviction case. Mayor's office steps in to help elderly couple. Oh, you mean all elderly couples are good. And they show the elderly woman, Gum Gee Lee, praying in her living room the day before the family were to be evicted from their longtime home in San Francisco. The Lee family has lived on Jackson Street for decades and is now being evicted under the Ellis Act. But religious leaders, left-wing fanatics, friends left-wing fanatics, politicians left-wing fanatics all, gathered to show their support for the elderly couple and stand against evictions of longtime residents. Well, let's look into that story and see how it affects the average taxpayer. We learn that the Lees are elderly people. In fact, they are elderly. One of them is 74, and her husband, Poon Hung Lee, is 80. Nice old people, right? They're living off Social Security checks. Nothing wrong with that. They must have worked to earn Social Security. And caring for their mentally disabled daughter, who probably gets an SDSI check. And they said they won't be able to find anything equal to the $778 a month they pay for their two-bedroom home. Of course they won't be able to find anything equal to it because they're not paying the right amount of rent in San Francisco. That apartment should probably cost $4,000 a month, and the man who owns the building is simply throwing the family out with all the other families because he wants to convert the apartments into units that will rent for the right amount of money so he can afford to make a living. That's how it works. That's why San Francisco has so many slum buildings in the city. Old-fashioned slum buildings. So these are radical left-wingers, in other words, the politicians and the leaders who are on the side of the Lees, giving us a story about an elderly couple who's being evicted without telling us why they're being evicted. And that's why I say sometimes, in order to tighten your belt, some people have to understand that the times have changed. I would be remiss if I didn't mention to you what I announced last Wednesday. It was the biggest announcement in radio history. I'll say it again in case you don't want to hear it. Let's say that felt like chalk on a blackboard because you're in the radio business and you never thought you'd hear this. Let's say you said it can't happen. Savage can't be getting Hannity's time slot on Cumulus stations. It's impossible. It can't be true that Savage is the heir apparent to Afternoon Drive on the East Coast. It can't be that he's going to be 3 to 6 Eastern and 12 to 3 Pacific time across America on all the best stations in the country. It can't be true. Why, we've marginalized Savage. Savage is not mentioned by various and sundry political outlets who are all part of the Rush-Hannity complex. You've heard of the military-industrial complex. Well, there's the Rush Hannity complex. I'm nothing against Rush and Hannity, per se, but to be honest with you, they have kept me out of the loop. Because of their power, they never thought this would happen. Because of their power, I'm banned on Fox News. Because of their power, I'm never mentioned on websites. So I'm pleased to announce that despite the cartel's attempt to block it, despite the cartel's desire to marginalize yours truly, Savage is going to take Hannity's time slot on Cumulus beginning in January. And if you want to comment on that, the phone number is very easy to remember, 855-400-SAVAGE. You know, I thought of something over the weekend about that. I will be taking over Sean Hannity's time slot on Cumulus Media radio stations. That's a big story. It's the biggest story in radio in years. I don't expect you to have read about it in your local paper. It did make it to the Daily News and many other newspapers who cover the media. It's a huge story for a number of reasons, which you'll see as time goes on. Here's an interesting thing. I thought of it. Many of you like Hannity, as you should. He's a nice guy. He's just terrible on radio, and he uses radio to push his TV show, which is why he's been, you know, basically pushed out. I'm laying it on the line, that's all. I'm better on the radio. Everybody knows that. I'm the Mozart of radio. And he's been using the radio show simply as a sounding board to push the TV show. Every night, watch Fox this, watch Fox that. It's in his own interest, but not in the interest of the radio show, so people got fed up with it. I realized you can listen to me on the radio and then watch him on TV at night, 10 o'clock, after he spent all that time with his family. In other words, you don't have to make a decision, should I listen to Savage or Hannity? It dawned on me, you could have the best of both worlds. You listen to Savage on the radio, and then at night you catch Hannity's show. You don't need the previews and coming attractions on the radio show. That's all you've been getting anyway. So it's a win-win when you think about it. Savage on the radio, Hannity on TV. I'll never compete with him on TV because I don't have his hair. And that's one thing I found out, that every election going back in American history to George Washington, I did an analysis, a detailed scientific analysis. He who has more hair has always won. That is why I'm not going into television. I have a head for radio. In more ways than one. But if you look at it, and if you take my theorem that whoever has more hair wins, it means that Hillary's going to win the next election. Oh, God forbid. It's not been bad enough with this left-wing fanatic in the White House now for all these years. You can imagine what she's going to do to us. But I don't want to get ahead of us. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is Michael Savage playing you some right-wing rock and roll from a bygone era before the communist, socialist, Leninist leeches took over the country. And so I'm asking you a question, a number of questions floating in the air tonight on the program, heard across America on 200 stations, about to be heard at an earlier time, and you know the questions, and you must have the answers, that's all. The biggest shakeup in talk radio history has been announced. It will occur in January. The biggest. And I want to know what you think about that. I want to know whether you think is Obama secretly letting Iran build a nuke. I want to know whether you think that the government shutdown is a good idea, as I do. As I explain to you why I think it's a good idea, not just yes or no, but clearly it is a good idea. My Savage Manifesto explain why we need a government shutdown and a belt tightening. So let's begin in Providence, Rhode Island on WPRV. Dave, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Dave?
Well, Michael, it's an honor to speak with you. I just wanted to call to congratulate you on your new time slot, and I think this could be one of the best things that happened to this country in a long time.
You know, I asked a loaded question when I announced it last Wednesday, and I said, do you think the time change will affect the course of American political history? Will I change things starting in January? Remember, it's a midterm election year. It's sort of right in time, the January change. The audience will be 4 to 5 times bigger at least. People who've never heard the show are going to join the Savages and Savagettes who've been with me for 20 years, some of them. And they're going to say, I hate him. Who is this guy? Then they're going to listen and say, wait a minute, he makes sense. Maybe he knows what's going on. WABC, Lauren, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Lauren?
Last week you said let the chips fall where they may, but this chick is going to fall because I'm East Coast, and My 10-year-old dog, Tony, I said, we can't go anywhere till Savage is over. And he's like, no. So we're wide awake and buzzing around.
I'm on now in New York, 9 o'clock, which is very late for most people who work for a living. That's the absolute truth. Unless you're a club-going leech who comes home and sleeps till 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a hairnet on so you can collect Obamacare and then go out clubbing and taking acid at night or whatever you may do. Yeah, you generally go to sleep by 9:30, people who work.
But not if you're a Savagette.
Well, but I understand what you're saying. You're happy that I'm changing to the 3 to 6 coming January?
Some sleep. I will actually get some sleep, and so will my 10-year-old dog.
I'm doing a time change January 2nd. I may even be on New Year's Day, depending upon what I feel like doing. Well, I'm not going to go out New Year's Eve. I don't do that. Who needs New Year's Eve? Schmendrix go out on New Year's Eve. Young kids go out on New Year's Eve. Big deal. What are they screaming about New Year's Eve? But anyway, no, I don't go out New Year's Eve. Who needs to be with the animals in the street? I don't need it. But I'll be on the air probably January 2nd for 100% sure. It's a weird time this year because New Year's Eve is Wednesday night, I believe. Or Tuesday night, it's a horrible time. So most Americans who don't work for a living or fake working for a living, what they're going to do is they're going to go away the weekend before and not come back until the weekend after. Like, they're going to push it into a 10-dayer. But anyway, whatever. You and the dog will enjoy it. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. I took Teddy to the city yesterday. We hung out in North Beach. We sat on Columbus Avenue. We watched the world go by. It's a beautiful thing to watch, I got to tell you. I like the world going by. I'm a people watcher. I don't know about you. It's where I derive a lot of my insights from, just the ordinary people walking around and what they do. You can derive a lot of insights about America and society in general by just watching people's behavior. The streets are filled with European tourists. Do they not work in Europe? What are they doing here? It's late September and they're still not back to work in Europe? No, they're on 16-week vacations. That's what socialism is. They don't want a government shutdown in France and Germany. They like the welfare state, wouldn't you, if you had 3 months off every summer? That's why the professors are all left-wing fanatics. They don't understand that their tenure is paid for by those of us who work. The professors, for example, who don't work at all. They teach 6 contact hours. I love how they call it contact hours, as though they're contacting a disease. They grade themselves on how few contact hours they have with students. The fewer the contact hours with students, the higher they are in the pecking order in the universities. So a lowly assistant professor or a TA, a teaching assistant, might have 16 contact hours with the infected students. Contact hours, they have to actually teach. Then the associate professor has 8 to 10 contact hours with the students. And then, of course, the full professor is so busy doing research, such as whether horses can be, well, I can't even say it on the radio. If I read you some of the funding, the NSF funding, the NIH funding, your hair would stand up, where these billions of dollars in scientific research go. Oh, yeah, you think it's all science today? What percent of science research goes for degenerate sexual research? What percent? Does anyone know how much of it's been hijacked by these sexual deviants who've taken over the science industry? They go to Thailand and study hookers in a brothel, male hookers, and they come back with a study that says, I remember this one was 2 years ago, they come back with a study that says, yes, it's true that alcohol definitely incites sexual behavior amongst Thai homosexuals. That costs something like $693,000. And then Obama has the nerve last week to say that we need absolutely not to shut the government down because we need to advance our investment in science, our investment in scientific research, to make sure that the tenured professors can continue to go to Thailand and brothels in Mexico, for example, or Guatemala, to study various and sundry important advances in human understanding. So I say, give them a good shutdown. So the contact hours, the full profs have no contact hours. They're so busy doing their important research, making $175,000, $250,000 a year, and not having any contact with the students.
Savage.
Extract a ransom for doing your job, for doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway, or just because there's a law there that you don't like. The American people sent us here to govern. They sent us here to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make their lives a little bit better, to create new jobs, to restore economic security.
How's that
rebuild
the
prospects of upward mobility. That's what they expect.
That worked for Zuckerberg and the Wall Street leeches, sure. Yeah, they've had a lot of upward mobility. In some societies, some would say Zuckerberg would be in prison for stock fraud. Instead, he's been invited to the White House, and he's considered a folk hero. That's the new America under Obama, who now is saying to those of us who actually pay the taxes, we're suddenly super right-wingers because we don't want to pay the tab for the leeches. We don't want to pay the tab for the bureaucrats. We're sick and tired of being taxed to death. We're now right-wingers. Now, that's one topic. Now, there's another story I have to get to before the hour is up, and that is the National Rifle Association elephant hunter attacking people for calling him names for killing an elephant by shooting the elephant in the face. It's a huge story. It appeared on a sports channel. This pig, this monster, Tony Marcus, you should rip up your NRA card till he's fired. You could tell Wayne LaPierre where he can go. Tell Wayne LaPierre what he can do with his rifle after this. I'm not a big fan of Wayne LaPierre, by the way. I gave them a ton of money a few years ago, and they sent me a nasty letter saying that Wayne might come on your show one day. They never saw another dime from me. It's a business, my friends, just like the Republican Party is a business. Make no mistake about it. It's a business. So now we have the NRA acting out the worst imaginable imagery for the world to see of a pig with a gun. You know why I have a soft spot for certain animals. Not all animals are equal, by the way. All animals are not equal. Incidentally, in one sense, yes, everything has a divinity, but not all animals are equal. A man certainly is not the same as a monkey. But when you see men slaughtering animals as noble as the elephant with such impunity and boasting about it, especially at a time when elephants are being decimated around the globe, mainly in Africa, NRA lobbyist shoots elephant in the face and then celebrates with champagne. And he called those who attacked him animal racist and said Hitler would oppose killing elephants too. He thinks he's a wise guy. And this is why people hate Republicans. Men like him are the reason that people hate conservatives. Men like him, like pigs like him, murderers like him, are the reason people hate guns. Pigs like him are the reason that people hate conservatives. People like him are the reason people will never, ever vote for a Republican. Never. It was on NBC Sports, and it followed that poachers seeking ivory had last week poisoned 81 elephants with cyanide, and this pig from the NRA goes out there and shoots an elephant. Take a look at the baby lying there with her eye looking up, dying. And this pig, this old bum, this weakling coward pig with his big gun, his big elephant gun, this weak old man. Well, listen to clip 22. I have nothing more to say.
I hunt all things. And they go, well, nobody should shoot an elephant. I said, why? And they're so big and kind and gentle and smart. And I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Should I be able to shoot birds? Yeah, well, I guess that's okay. Ducks? Yeah, okay. Pigeons? Oh, they're flying rats. Okay. Rabbits? Well, rabbits are cute, but yeah, squirrels, that's nothing but a rat with a tail, with a fuzzy tail. And I said, well, deer eat all my mother's roses in Long Island. And I go, so I can shoot all of those, but not an elephant, no. Do you realize if you subscribe to that philosophy, you're committing a very unique form of animal racism?
Now, this is Tony Macris of the NRA. I want you to rip up your NRA card. Listen to the next clip.
And now they're shocked. And they said, but they're so big and special, and they're smarter. And I went, you know, Hitler would have said the same thing. I said, if a deer deserved to live...
Now, do you understand why young people hate Republicans? Do you understand why young people despise conservatives? Do you understand why young people despise the NRA? Do you understand why people want to puke every time they hear an old white man get up with a gun and scream about their Second Amendment rights? Do you understand this? Do you get it? Listen to the next clip, because it happened today.
Right now, on the National Rifle Association's Under Wild Skies, hunting the largest land mammal on Earth, Botswana's Okavango Delta is a mecca for elephant hunting. But come prepared for all hell to break loose. Under Wild Skies.
Positively lethal, great to handle, beautiful gun. And the 577 was made to shoot ivory.
Made to shoot ivory. Now, it even gets worse in clip 25 when you hear this old white pig boasting about shooting an elephant in the face. Listen.
I've got bright sunlight behind the elephant. I can see the silhouette of his head, but I can't find my aiming point, which is, you know, sort of midway between the eyes, and you know, you got to look at the cheekbone and the top of the eyebrows, and right in there is that line. And I'm bent over, literally shooting through a hole in the trees.
NRA lobbyist shoots elephant in the face and then celebrates with champagne. Rip up your NRA card. Tell Wayne LaPierre to go to hell. That's all. How's that? Is that a clear message? See, if you think you can categorize me, you're crazy. If you think that I'm going to sit here like the frauds in the conservative radio movement who say, hey, NRA, all the way. If you have insane people like these running the NRA, what does it tell you about the NRA? What does it tell you about anything? If you have men like this who compare an elephant to a bird, or an elephant to a rat, or an elephant to a squirrel, it tells you everything you ever needed to know about why there are liberals on the earth who may not agree with everything liberal, but they'd rather die than ever become a conservative because of men like him. I know people like that. They say, you know what? I may not believe the whole liberal agenda. I know maybe global warming is a lie, and I don't believe Obama's authentic. I think he's a fraud. But I'd rather never ever become a Republican because of pigs like those in the NRA. That's what they say. Don't you understand that? Can't you grasp that? So I want you to go and look at that. And then we'll go back to our regular programming in a moment. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to read you my 37-point plan of the Savage Manifesto on Borders, Language, Culture, and Economics that I wrote a few years ago. And you want to hear who I dedicated this chapter to? Well, I'll read you the line. It says, the world is a dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it. Albert Einstein. And here's the irony. The Tea Party is the driving force of the people who want to do something about the government's spending evils. And Obama has the nerve to call you, the American taxpayer, the right wing. This is the new game in town. MSNBC, right wing. CNN, the right wing is trying to shut the government down. ABC, CBS, NBC, the right wing is trying to shut the government down. What is laughable about it is that we have the most extremist left-wing government in American history calling the average taxpayer right-wingers as though it's a dirty word. Well, I, for one, am proud to be a right-winger. I'm very proud that I work hard at my age, and I've been working since I'm 5 years old. I'm not proud that I have a bunch of leeches who are sucking me dry with taxation without representation. And a leadership that is so left-wing that they dare call we the taxpayer right-wing. So in my Savage Manifesto, I had a 37-point plan. This goes back to trickle-up poverty. And I'll get to the part about... Well, let me read you a few of them. See if you agree or disagree. This was written a few years ago in that bestseller. It's in paperback. One, English only. Make English the official language of the United States. Require all who immigrate to our country to begin immediately to learn English as part of the requirement to qualify for the privilege of American citizenship. Two, close the borders. Three, defend the borders. Pull the troops out of Germany and South Korea where they're doing nothing, and put them on our southern border where there's a real threat to our citizens. Four, defund and repeal Obamacare. I wrote that. How is that possible? How did Michael Savage know that we should defund Obamacare in his book, Trickle Up Poverty, written a few years ago? I thought others owned that topic. All the Johnny-come-latelys who were screaming from the rooftops. Four, I said defund and repeal Obamacare. And I wrote how to do it. I said, remember how the Schechter brothers overturned FDR socialism? Sue the government on the grounds of religious freedom. Use Schechter brothers' strategy from Chapter 5. Michael Savage, the architect of the New America. And here comes the soundbite of the day. Number 5, I wrote, reduce the size and scope of government. The federal government is bloated. With the exception of the military and defense, reduce all departments in size by 4% each year, for a total reduction in size of 16% over 4 years, require government employees to speak English and to have achieved at least a high school diploma. 6, liquidate TARP. 7, oil for illegals. 8, strike down the Anchor Babies law. 9, export jailed illegal aliens. 10, fire Janet Napolitano. 11, use profiling to prevent terror attacks. 12, name the enemy. 13, rewrite the rules of engagement for our combat veterans. 14, save the SEALs. This is before they were assassinated by the government in that helicopter incident. 15, reinforce the military infrastructure. 16, pay raise for the military personnel, which I called for increasing pay for active duty combat troops by 10%. Notice I'm calling for a belt tightening, but it wasn't with a meat axe. It was with a scalpel. And I said increase the pay for active duty combat troops by 10%. Impose tariffs on China. Oh, really? Impose a 20% tariff on all goods produced in China? 19, offer health savings plans. That's interesting. 20, institute a flat tax. 21, keep the estate tax at zero. 22, say no to a VAT tax. 23, reduce pay and pensions for civil servants. I asked, why is New York City paying a $242,000 a year tax-free disability pension per year for a former fire chief? Why do almost 2,000 House of Representatives staffers take down six-figure incomes? How can 43 of them soak the public for $172,500, which is 3 times the median U.S. household income in this economy? I wrote this a few years ago, trickle-up poverty. So when you say we're right-wingers, well, maybe you're a right-winger and you don't even know it. 24, defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Remember family values? Where did family values go under this radical, left-wing, socialist, fanatic Barack Obama? Whatever happened to family values? 25, encourage childbearing among tax-paying citizens through lower taxes for married heterosexual couples and a tax credit for each child conceived and carried to birth. Increase the subsidies for each year the couple remains married. Gee, that's such a right-wing idea, isn't it? 27, end affirmative action. 28, limit welfare benefits. 29, voting reform. Require a government-issued photo ID such as a driver's license at the ballot box when voting. 30, boot the czars appointed by Obama. 32, reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. Oh, look that one up. 33, reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. 34, privatize the regulation of Wall Street. 35, encourage risk-taking and entrepreneurship. 36, institute tort reform. That means rein in the greedy trial lawyers. 37, run the country like a business, not an empire. And I said this in case you think I'm didactic. I wrote, we cannot blame President Obama for the entire economic morass we are in. However, as any homeowner knows, if you have $100,000 in debt at the end of the year, you don't eliminate that $100,000 debt by incurring $300,000 additional debt, which your children will have to pay for. Instead, you pay down that debt by cutting unnecessary expenses. Maybe you have fewer vacations, Mr. Obama. Maybe you use Air Force One a little less, Mr. Obama. Maybe the wife doesn't send the dog to Martha's Vineyard in an Osprey, Mr. Obama. That's known as belt tightening, Mr. Obama. A simple principle bureaucrats can't seem to grasp. As such, we the people must stop them from further federal bailouts and stimulus packages altogether. That is Michael Savage's manifesto. That is why I believe we need a government shutdown. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's a very important scientific study, global warming. We all know it's a fraud. We know it's a complete and total fraud. There's been global cooling for the last 10 years. 1 million acres of sea ice increased in the Arctic. Yet it does not stop the con men and the con women in the global warming racket. It's a racket like, you see, if Al Capone were alive today, Al Capone would not use a billy club, he would not use a snub-nosed 32 to make his fortune. He would use the United Nations and the Scientific Establishment Instrumentation Society to come up with fraudulent data based upon computer programs that they rigged to predict that there'd be global warming and a catastrophe would occur, which didn't occur. And after it didn't occur, they would say it is occurring, but you can't see it. And we need more money to continue our important research to save the world from a calamity that never has occurred and never will occur. So today, the long-awaited United Nations report on global warming came out, which was, as expected, a complete and total fraud. So the spokesmouth for the UN gave this speech. Neil, play it.
This report constitutes an alarm clock moment for the world, because this report will tell us again that everything that we thought we knew on climate change has actually been underestimated, that the effects of climate change are actually will be upon us faster and in a
criminal,
more intense fashion than we had thought.
Interpol should arrest you. If there was a rational Interpol that would arrest this woman for pulling a fraud on the world's population. A fraud of the highest order. It's like calling Islam the religion of peace in light of the fact that in Kenya last week, did you hear what happened in Kenya? It was hushed up, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was hushed up about the 70 or so civilians who were slaughtered mercilessly. They were given a quiz on Islam. If they didn't know the basics, who was Muhammad's father or this or that, they were shot in front of their children, or their children were tortured in front of the father and mother first. They found children with ice picks, with knives in them, thrown into freezers. Babies were cut out of the womb of pregnant women by practitioners of the religion of peace who broke into that mall. You didn't read any of this? And they did it all in the name of a religion. Not because they were impoverished, not because Israel is in the Middle East, but because this is how conquest occurs. This is how conquest occurs. Small groups of armies invade, terrorize a population, and convert large numbers of people to Islam. It's how Islam spread throughout the globe so rapidly 1,000 years ago. The same exact methodology is being used. So don't underestimate your enemy. That's all I can say to you. Never, ever underestimate your enemy. Not in his tactics, ever. Never. No, hush, hush, my darling. My friends, my fellow Americans, we are in such trouble because of the radical left-wing fanatics who have seized the government, who have seized the media, who have seized academia. I don't know if America can be saved. I just don't know. America's future hangs in the balance like a loose tooth. All of the West run by left-wing appeasers. At the same time, the Hitlers of our time, Hitlers in headscarves, are killing women and children, gouging out eyes, torturing and murdering and mutilating in the name of their distorted view of their religion. Appeasement in the White House. A man in the White House who came from nowhere, of unknown origins, put in power by unknown forces, appeasing the Hitler of Iran and calling members of the opposition party who represent the American taxpayer terrorists themselves. Yes, it's all about appeasement. It's as though the entire nation is filled with young people who are already dead, the walking dead. They nullify their very existence by their lifestyle and by their drugging. Sure, the Grateful Dead, but they're running the country. And it's not a joke. Instead, we're appeasing the Hitler and the Hitlers of our time. And in San Francisco, take a look at what occurred in this city, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard over the weekend. San Francisco rebels in sickness. They had what's called the Folsom Street Fair, where people were tied up, whipped in public, in ways that you can't imagine. All the while that radical Islam is making moves around the globe. Moves around the globe. And here's John Kerry. This is beyond belief. He says that the terror recruits for radical Islam need economic opportunities. This is the biggest lie that I have seen in my lifetime. John Kerry, by perpetuating the debunked link between poverty and radicalism, is literally leading us to our own graves.
Savage.